Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on today. Truly today is the day that the Lord have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad therein. The scripture said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. We come to exalt the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on today, as well as to look at another beautiful lesson for the church on today. And so again, I want to say to each and every one of my listeners, I am so glad that you tuned in today and just looking for the Lord to bless you. Yes, you. I know God have a tremendous blessing for you. The Bible said if we just acknowledge him first, he would direct our path. And as we acknowledging the glorious blessings of the Lord that makes us rich and add no sorrow. Today we're going to be talking about, on our lesson today, is coming again. And this is a letter to the church. And we're going to be looking at over in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verses 13 through verses number 8. As well as 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verses 7 through verse number 10. And we're going to look at what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto the church, even today, as we look at the Word of the Lord. And so why don't you just grab your Bible and come on in and just make yourself right at home, because truly God have a blessing for you. So on today, as we get ready to go before the Lord and things, let us just pray. Gracious Father, we thank you, dear God, for this day. We thank you, dear God, for just another opportunity for us to come together and to hear of your word. Let our tongue be as a pen of a ready writer, and let your holy anointing and power flow, Father, for the glory of God, and we'll praise your blessed name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now let's take a look at our scripture on today. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verses 13 through verse number 18, and it reads on this line, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the sky, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verses 7 through verse number 10, it reads on this line, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony are among you was believed, and in that day. Now, let us look at another scripture as we look today at Acts chapter number 1, verses 11. It reads on this line, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The second coming of our Lord is near, and we should be ready when he soon returns. Now let's take a look. Again, our lesson is going to be talking in relation to he's coming again. Life is filled with returns, some happy and some not so joyous. There are tax return, election returns, returns on investment, shallow even returns to different things. And so the returning is a part of life. The biblical returns are nearly always joyous, from Israel returning from exile or from idolatry or from other form of spiritual waywardness, to a classic parable of the prodigal son returning home, to the feasting and rejoicing prepared by the waiting father returning and celebrated and associated with good times. Again, we're talking about returns. The greatest return that has ever happened in the history of mankind is about to take place. That's the return of our Lord for his bride. The Lord's return has been the ultimate hope for every child of God across the centuries. The Old Testament looked for his coming and redemption, but the New Testament anticipated his return to reign and rule forever. Interestingly enough, for every verse in the Bible that deals with his first coming, three deals with his second coming. Jesus is coming again. Now, in this lesson, it is important to recognize that the second coming of Jesus Christ will occur in two advents. First, Jesus will come to catch away the living and the dead who are in Christ Jesus. At this first advent of Christ's return, he will not set his foot upon the earth. Rather, the believer will join him in the air. At that time of the second advent, however, Christ will return to earth with his saints, and he will plant his feet on the Mount of Olives, splitting the mount in two parts. See Zechariah 14 and 4. We will consider both advents of his return in this particular lesson on today. Now let's take a look at the coming for his bride. Now, the Lord is coming back for his bride who will raise to meet him in the rapture. Now let's take a look at that. Let's look at the catching away, the rapture. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then we believe that we have a living Savior. Believing this truth, our being convinced that Jesus not only died but rose again is necessary for our salvation. Nowhere did the Bible say that Jesus slept for 3 days. He died and rose again. Because he defeated death, we should not fear death. He defeated it, and the hope of his return comforts the heart of his people with knowledge that he has broken the power of death. Whether we live or die, we have nothing to fear, for Jesus is going to come to receive us unto himself. Now, let's look again at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we be forever be with the Lord. Now, we should understand the principle concerning resurrection. When the body is resurrected, it is not going to be exactly like the one that we was placed here on earth. It will be different, a resurrected body, a glorious body, like the glorious body of Jesus Christ. There is much we do not know about that glorified state, but we do know that we shall be like Jesus, according to 1 John 3 and verse number 2. Now let's take a look at Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, there is also a rapture of living believers who will be caught up together with the dead in Christ to be with the Lord forever. The Greek word for caught up has always a meaning, many meanings, one of which is to catch away speedily. It also means to seize by force. Jesus Christ will come in the air to catch away the believers, to take them out of and through Satan's domain. Now, what we mean by he's taking us out of and through Satan's domain, it means that he is the prince of the power of the air. And so it is God that's going to come. Jesus is going to snatch away the bride through the air. He's going to come to the air and things in the air. He's not coming to earth, but he's going to come to the air, and then he's going to snatch away his bride. Amen. Caught up also means to claim for one's own. That is Christ's perceptive of the whole thing. He will return to claim us for himself. To take us out of this world, living believers will suddenly be translated. They will join the resurrected, born-again believers in the air. While some will be caught up, others will be caught by surprise. Now imagine the consternation and the chaos on the earth as multitudes of people instantly vanish. What chaos that will be upon the earth when this happens. All of those without Christ, however, will be left behind, even church members who have pretended to know him. Now, let's look further. The rewards, the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible teaches that after the rapture occurs, believers shall stand at the judgment seat of Christ. This judgment seat is only for the saved because the lost, self-righteous and agnostic people would not be there. The word judgment seat comes from the Greek word bina, and the bina, an elevated seat or platform, was a part of the Greek arena for the Olympic Games. On that elevated seat sat the king who would look down upon those who performed in the arena. As he watched, if he pointed his thumb up, the participant was doing well. However, if he pointed his thumb down, they soon lost their head. Thus, the king would pass judgment from the raised seat or platform. After judging the event, the king will give out wonderful and glorious reward to the participant as they knelt before the bema. Immediately after the rapture, as the child of God, we will feel will be judged according to our works as we stand before the bema of Christ. He will judge us on how well we did at the living, at living the Christian life. Christ, however, himself would judge the hidden things of darkness and the counsel of our hearts. The Bible teaches that he will give crowns as reward, and you can see that over in 2 Timothy 4 and 8. Now, this will be a glorious meeting as we have walked by faith on the earth. We have never seen the Lord physically. However, we shall see him as he is in the rapture. Again, 1 John 3 and verse number 2. Moreover, it is an eternal meeting, for so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 17. Death is the great separator, but Christ is the great reconciler. He put it all back together. What a comfort is that is in that particular thought. Now let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians 4 and 18. It said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, let us look further at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation chapter number 19, verses 7 through 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she would be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Oh, my child of God. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what we're striving for, to be called to that marriage supper with the Lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ came in humility and poverty when he was born in Bethlehem manger. The Lord came in flesh through the incarnation so that he could come to claim his bride. Unfortunately, he was scorned, misunderstood, and rejected by his own people. The Jewish ones who he had came to make his bride. Consequently, Christ turned to the Gentiles to take them out from them, a people, to become his bride. And the bride of Christ is now making herself ready. And so we as children of God, we are daily making ourselves ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb, for the catching away of his bride, which is the church, who have made themselves ready for the bride, but for the groom when he comes. Now, if we are in Christ Jesus, whether Jews or Gentile, we are part of that bride. What does it matter if others despise us? We should remember that we are his beloved bride. He loves us with an everlasting love, and one glad day he is coming to claim us to be forever his and to be with him. Certainly, he is coming soon. Now, the scripture declared that we will sit down at the glorious marriage supper of the Lamb to celebrate the marriage of the Lord and his bride, the church. What a glorious time of celebration when we are united with the one who redeemed us, bringing us from rags to riches. What constitutes the meal is not that important. What is important is that the fact that we are united with Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, forever. Now let's look a little further. Coming to rule and reign. Now, John mentioned a battle of Armageddon where the saints of the earth will be gathered together for one final climatic confrontation over in Revelation 16 and 16. Now, that the world seemed to be on the threshold of this conflict, publisher had produced volumes to explain and expound upon it. The geographic location of this final battle is between Nazareth and the Mediterranean. Now, let's look here. Revelation 9 and 16 says, and the numbers of the army of the horsemen was 200,000, and I heard the numbers of them. That's over in Revelation 9 and 16. Now, this passage of scripture mentioned an army of 200,000 strong sweeping over the Middle East. Joel prophesied, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat or Armageddon. Joel 3 and 2. Millions of Arab people have come to realize that neither the West nor the Russian is going to help them destroy their foe, Israel. Perhaps they will call upon China to help, for it may be the only nation capable of mobilizing over 200,000 fighters for an army. Such a conflict would naturally involve the West. However, as those nations probably would assist Israel, whatever the scenario, this final battle will usher in the second part of Jesus' coming. Now, this time, he will come as the victor to set up his kingdom where he will rule and reign for 1,000 years. Now, certainly the Lord is worthy to rule and reign over the earth. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure they are and were created. That's Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 11. Now, let us continue on. Now, let's look at waiting for his coming And this is key for us as children of God as well, as we take note. Now, let's look at watching. We should be watching for signs of Christ's coming. Jesus never spoke of his return in terms of time. Now, I want you to get that, because there are many things that are going on that's trying to set a time and things for Christ's return. Now, he never mentioned or spoken about his return in terms of times. But he did, now catch this, children of God, but he did speak of the condition that would surround his return. So when people come and say, okay, it's going to be XYZ day, we as children of God know that he did not set a time, but he did set conditions, okay? We should be busy ourselves in preparation for his return by studying and recognizing the condition of our day. Now, you can go to the book of Matthew, and you can write this down, Matthew chapter number 24, verses 6 to verse number 14, okay? We should leave the timing of his coming to him. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 7. Is another key scripture that you should look at. There are numerous signs concerning this intriguing and frequently confusing subject. Jesus emphasized to his disciples that we know neither the day nor the hour of his return. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. This fact causes many people to shy away from giving serious study to the second coming. Yet, his statement was only a warning against those who would try to force God into a specific timetable for his return or his coming. Now, Israel plays a remarkable role in this thrilling event. The prophet Zechariah recorded, "Thus said the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness." That's Zechariah chapter number 8, verses number 7 through verse number 8. This is an unequivocal and certain and clear promise of the Jews returning to the ancient Holy Land and becoming a nation. Now, on May 15, 1948, the world witnessed the fulfillment of that part of Zechariah's prophecy. They witnessed some of that. Now, let's look further. Jeremiah, the prophet, also affirmed, "Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the city thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity." Jeremiah 31 and 23. Today, Hebrew is the official language after having fallen into this misuse of for centuries. Jesus' symbolism of the fig tree denoted noteworthy event relative to the second coming. Again, Matthew chapter 24, verse 32. The fig tree symbolized the nation of Israel, which is flourishing. However, Jesus did not mention fruit in the tree at the stage of history. There is little religion in Israel, as pilgrims returning there testify. What is most baffling to the Christian believers who are aware of such prophecy is that many modern Israel see no religion or prophetic connotation to their existence today. A top official from the land stated, "We see only political meetings to our land. There are tragically very few Christian believers or fruit among them." Now, Zechariah, he prophesied 400 years before the birth of Jesus Christ of Israel's future repentance. And you can see that over in Zechariah chapter number 12, verse number 10. There are also similar passages in the writings of Hosea, Amos, Micah, as well as other prophecies. The fact is that we are now a world blinded by material and physical needs plagued by political intrigue and pride. Our lifestyle is much the way that it was in the day of Noah. Again, let's look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 38 and verse 39. Corruption is prevalent. Immorality is called the new morality. Wealth rules the earth. Immorality and drunken lifestyle, illegal drugs, murderers, stealing, divorce, and other social ills spills out the impending doom of God's righteous judgment upon the wicked. Scriptures predict a remarkable increase in the knowledge as a significant sign of the condition on earth at the time of Jesus' second coming. See Daniel's chapter number 12, verses number 4. Increasingly, more than 500,000 of mankind's knowledge have been acquired in the past few decades. Moreover, 95% of all scientists who have ever lived are living and working today. Mathematics, medicine, marketing, biology, pharmacy, space technology, electronic communication are almost new fields become of a recent and brilliant discovery and advancement. And we can see that. And these things are prophetically, even as we are sharing, even over the air, these have been prophetically declared back in Daniel's time, of where we're sitting right here today. Now let's look a little further. The Apostle Paul warned Timothy concerning the spiritual climate of the second coming in such detail that no one would think his coming in our own age. Now let's take a look at 2 Timothy 3, verses number 1 through 5. It says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, let me stop here for just a minute, because God shared with me one time. He said, "Helen," he said, "the people are stuck on the perilous time." And yes, we are in perilous times. We see perilous things that are happening. But now let's take a little look a little deeper and further at some of the characteristics of things that will be transpiring even in these last days with the perilous time. Now, let's take a look. He said that for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, furious, despiser of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. From such turn away, is what the word of the Lord has said. 2 Timothy 3, verses number 1 through 5. Just before Jesus returns, there will be a great hunger of peace worldwide. And you find it over in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 3. Jesus declared that our world would experience a terrible times of affliction or pressure, for in those days shall be affliction, such as it was from the beginning of creation, which God created into his time, neither shall be. That's Mark chapter 13 and verse 19. Now, mankind is indeed experiencing this pressure. They're experiencing it now politically, economically, physically and mentally during our time. It is obvious it's set to become only worse. As God's children scan world horizon through the telescope of the sure word of prophecy, they believe that the stage is being set for the coming even of the Antichrist. And you see that over in Daniel's chapter number 8, verse number 25. Now, how bright is the future for God's children who cherish the blessed hope and the glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thessalonians 2, Titus 2 and 13. Now, in contrast, how dark and dismal is the outlook in the future for those who fail to reckon with God in his gloomy dispelling, hope-kindling, prophetic word. Jesus said, and when these things begin to come to pass, now I want you to catch this. Then he said, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Luke 21, verse 28. And so here God said, I want you to start looking up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now we always say look up. But then he also said in that same scripture, not only look up, but lift up your heads. And even that come to my mind is Psalms 24, lift up your heads, O ye gates. And so we as children of God, we must daily lift up our heads and our eyes to the hill from which cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord. Now, James said, certainly, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. James talked about it over in chapter number 5, verse 8. Jesus further announced, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24 and 14. So here we must recognize that it must be taught throughout all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, the apostolic organization are sending out many missionaries today as they attempt to fulfill this prophecy. The latter-day outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the flood of translation of the Bible into language of the world are being fulfilled and fulfilling numerous prophetic prophecies and passages of Scripture that have been spoken, how the translation, so that every nation will be able to hear, every tongue will be able to hear the gospel. Now, the world rushes madly towards its the destiny like a roaring content in the seas of God's judgment. However, the child of God moves towards the fulfillment of his ultimate hope. And that ultimate hope is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul foretold the coming of Jesus and challenged us. What manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? 2 Peter 3 and 11. Now, indeed, our ultimate hope is in the second coming of Christ. God's love was demonstrated through his first coming. His judgment will be poured out on his second coming. However, for the believer, the child of God, the second coming will be the beginning of the fulfillment of his ultimate hope in Jesus Christ, our Lord. He does not fear that day, but look with great anticipation. Now, in these last days, we should be careful not to allow our love for God and for lost soul to wax cold. We must still have a burning fire for the souls that are lost and for the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God. We should not allow the material and physical needs of our time to blind our eyes to his soon appearing. We should not lose our passion for the loss of this world as we weep for our cities and nations. Over 6 billion people now live in our world as the darkness grows more intense. More than ever before, we should be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Now let's take a look here at Luke chapter number 21, verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, in the book of Hebrews, the writer was entreating and said, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. You'll find that over in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 and verse 23 and verse 25. Now, we as children of God, we must recognize that God intended for us as the body of believers is to come together even more so as never before. Come and gather. He said, the scripture said for us not to forsake ourselves of assembling together, even more so as we see the day approaching. So that's one of the charge that God has given unto the church, for us to draw closer even unto him as never before. Now, let's look a little further. Paul instructed Timothy that in the light of the Lord's coming, we should keep his commandments and keep ourselves pure. Now, that is the job of the child of God, is for us, is to keep God's commandment and to keep ourselves pure. And how do we keep God's commandment? And how do we keep ourselves pure? And staying in the word of the Lord, striving to live holy and righteous, upright before God, constantly in communion with God, and when God revealed things unto our hearts and mind and things, and if he's asking us to repent, repentance only means to have a change of mind and to have a change of heart about that situation or what you're doing or what you perhaps have done, and turning all the way away from that. And so many times people get offended when you tell them or share with them, God wants you to repent. God's saying, well, I want you to have a change of mind of that behavior. It will not allow you to get into heaven. It will not allow you to get into the place where I have prepared for you. So repentance is a gift to the church and the body of Christ so that we can get it right. We can have a change of mind. And many times people get offended by that word as opposed to receiving that as a gift from God to the church and the body of Christ so that we can come higher and be the man and woman of God that God has called us out to be. Because he's constantly, and we should be constantly preparing ourselves for the bridegroom. Now, it intrigues my mind, because when I think about, you know, when a woman is preparing for her marriage, how that it takes some time, years, or maybe a year, 6 months in planning and rehearsing and getting things together, going through counseling and just getting ourselves together, finding the right dress, finding the right accessories to go with that dress, finding the right shoes, getting the bridesmaid, getting the colors all set out, and then making sure you got the right location and things, the church and the reception hall and all of these things, the dinner, the rehearsal dinners, who's going to sing, and the musicians, and what song to sing. It's a lot of work that it goes into for a bride as they're preparing for that day. And such as it is, even when you come upon that day, there are still things that you want to make sure that is in order, the catering, the cake, and all the way down to the ring bearer and all of the different things. And so God said that such as it is with our lives, that we are constantly and constantly preparing ourselves daily for the soon coming bridegroom. As we daily, when God shows, oh, there's a spot on your garment, then that is for us not to run from the church or to run and hide it, but it's for us to come and ask and fall at the cross of feet of the cross of Calvary and say, God, help me, Father, take that out of my life, and I repent of it, and I get a change of heart and mind, and I turn towards you because you are my help. And you are my comforter, and you are the one that will enable me to overcome this thing even in my life. Because we're constantly, the thoughts in our mind, our behavior, our action, our spirit, we are constantly grooming. We're constantly preparing. We're constantly getting our lives in order for when the bridegroom comes and meet us in the air. Oh, my, Shandarabosha. And we must be found looking up. Now, let us go real quickly. I wanted to read over in 1 Timothy 5, verse number 22. And it reads on this line, it said, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other men's sin. Keep thyself pure. Oh, shanda da de bienda. God is calling for the church to keep herself pure. And if you see people sinning, do not engage in that, because God is calling for us to keep ourselves pure before him. It's just like a mother and things. When I was growing up, my mother would dress us and things, and we would get all cleaned up and ready for Sunday school and things. But she would make us sit on the couch until it was time for us to leave and go to Sunday school. And what that did, it made it so that we would not get our garments dirty before it was time for us to leave. And don't you know, child of God, God's still using that same analogy of that garment and that mindset of making sure that our garments are spotless and white without wrinkle or spot or any such thing. He's still using that same analogy of our garment. And I remember what that did for me as a child. It gave me a consciousness. It heightened my consciousness of keeping myself spotless for the bridegroom of Christ. And I tell you, nowadays, we as children of God, we must hold fast to these same principles that was passed down to us throughout the time, because it had relevancy and theological implication for the child of God. Now let's look at another scripture, 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse 14. Again, keeping ourselves. It said, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here, he is saying, keep the commandment and be without spot, unrebukable. And so you live in a lifestyle that you don't need someone to rebuke that out of your life, because you're living in such a manner that you're living purely before God in true holiness and righteousness before him. And when he shows us things in our lives that is not pleasing or the conviction comes, we get it right with God and begin to repent of it and ask of God for his forgiveness even in our life. And that's how we stay pure, staying in the word, staying in prayer, and living close and seeking him with our whole heart, mind, and soul. We should live in the life of obedience as we anticipate the second coming of our Lord. The Lord desires for every person to have an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we'll look at Matthew's in just a few minutes, Matthew 24:14. Therefore, it behooves the church to be about the business of evangelism. This is the will of God for the church in the last day as we prepare for his coming. Oh, we have a job to do, children of God. We have a job to do as never before. Now, I want us, before we get ready to close here, I want us to go and look at Matthew chapter number 24. And I want to invite you to consider to read chapter 24 in the time that you have in your own home, if you could get an opportunity to sit down and just to read the book of Matthew. Amen. Because it's going to give you a greater understanding. And I just want to read some of that in your hearing. It said, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, what shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, here it is, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars, rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And all these are the beginning of sorrow. Okay? Then shall they depart from, deliver you up to be afflicted and shall be killed, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Now, that's key. Let's take a look at that. Now, here it's saying that many is going to be betraying each other. And so we as children of God, we must be cognitive of what the word said so we will not fall succumb to these behaviors. He said that they were going to be offended and start betraying each other. So when offense comes, you must deal with that offense. You must immediately forgive so that you won't move into that vein or that spirit of betraying one another. Amen? So when offenses come, deal with it. Forgive. Let Satan get an advantage over us. Amen? Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, here it is, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all of the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And it goes on to say, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of the desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso read it, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountain. Let him that is on the mountain housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the day of Sabbath. For then shall a great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world of time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. For the elect say, these days shall be shortened. And that's why you're beginning to see how the days are shorter and the time is just going so quick and things so bad. The child of God can be saved. Then if you tell any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonder, insomuch, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I told you before. Wherefore, if he shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, if he is in the secret chamber, believe it not, because he said he's going to meet us, he's going to come to the air. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there shall be the eagle be gathered together. And it goes on, child of God, and I want to invite you. And then it said, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not. And so, child of God, I know the adversary didn't want me to continue this here particular reading, but I just come back just to say, let us finish this here particular lesson out and my reading as well, because I know that this is a blessing unto you. And let me finish on reading this whole chapter, chapter number 24, and we're going to pray as we get ready to conclude here. And say, and then shall appear the signs of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven and with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to another. Now learn a parable of the fig tree when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves. Ye know the summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angel of heaven, but my Father only. But as the day of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the day that they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and until the day of Noah enter into the ark, and know not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and another left. It go, two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and another left. It said, watch therefore, for I know ye know not the hour your Lord cometh. But know this, that if the groomman of the house have known in what watch the thief will come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord have made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make his ruler over all his goods. But if the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant and to eat and drink with the drunkard, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of, and all shall cut him asunder and appoint him the portion with the hypocrites. Therefore shall weeping and gnashing of the teeth. And it goes on and on and on, but I just wanted to read with you in chapter number 24 because it was so relevant for our lesson today. Children of God, we must be ready, and one of our goals and desires is to constantly to prepare daily for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to look up and lift up our head, for our redemption draweth nigh. As we constantly talk to the Lord and engage with him and developing that relationship and staying connected with the Lord Jesus Christ and to keeping ourselves pure and staying away from the things that God does not is pleasing in his eyesight, then God is going to do some great things in and through the lives of his people. We must evangelize as never before. We must share the good news with others as never before. And so here, Thessalonians, chapter number, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 and 18 say, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the words of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be, ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And then in our closing scripture, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verses number 7 to verse 10, it said, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angel in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. And then Acts 1 and 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Oh, child of God, child of God, as we conclude, no one know the day nor the hour when the Lord is coming back for his bride. After taking his church before the judgment seat to receive rewards, all believers will participate in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Next, the Lord is coming back in judgment to lead the charge in the battle of Armageddon. Following this final battle, Jesus Christ will reign and rule over the earth, and we should be waiting for his coming to catch us away, watching for the signs of the day with great anticipation. We should be preparing for his coming by not forsaking our assembling of ourselves together. Together we should keep his commandments, live pure lives, and evangelize the world. And so, child of God, as we come and assemble ourselves together, and as we press, as we continue to live pure lives and continue to evangelize and do the work that God has called us out to do, as we look up, for our redemption is drawing nigh. Yes, Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. May you be blessed, child of God, and let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you, O God. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come and to speak to your children on today and your people. We ask, dear God, that you keep us with a sober mind, a mind stayed on you, Lord, watching and waiting in a spirit of anticipation for you to come back and to receive your bride. Father, we ask, O God, that you give your body strength, your bridegroom, your bride, Lord, the strength that they need, Lord, as we prepare ourselves for your soon coming, O God, to receive your bride as you catch it away, as you come back in the cloud and in the air, Father. We thank you, Lord. Help us to reach your people, Lord. Help us to reach the lost. Let them have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto the church. And we bind the forces of darkness, Lord, and we loose your sovereign will into the lives of your people, even those that have gone to sleep, those that are wayward, Lord, those that are backsliding, God. Turn their feet back in the hither. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. Oh, God, sustain us and keep us because we want to be kept, God, and help us to reach, Lord, the rest of your body, Lord. Use us, flow through us, and, Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and the honor that's due unto your name. And this is our prayer, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Oh, come on and just shout hallelujah. Glory be unto God. I just want to say I am so glad that you were here with me. I thank God for each and every one of you and what God is doing in and through your life. Hold fast and hold on and be thou encouraged. God is going to do it in and through your life. And as I would say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you're just one miracle away. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. Yes, just one question away from your miracle. I pray that this lesson bless you. Yes, Jesus is coming. He's coming for his bride. Let us prepare. Let us be found watching and looking up and lifting up our heads unto our Lord and our Savior, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Continue to assemble, continue to live a pure life, and continue to share the gospel with someone else. May God bless you, is my prayer. Until we meet again, may God richly bless and continue to rest, rule, and abide, henceforth and forevermore. God bless you. Bye-bye.